help in making the ministry of Soul Union Church go on. And thank you for coming today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, or perhaps this is your second time, maybe last week was your first time, we're so glad to see you back. And again, we invite you to consider making Soul Union Church your church home here in Seoul. We'd be happy for you to join with us. Today we're going to look at something we were going to take a look at a few weeks ago, and we went a different direction, but this is titled Lions in the Grass. And so I want to ask for you to kind of go on a safari with me, if you will. As I was preparing this and we were putting some things together, I thought, wow, if we could just all pick up, pack our bags, and head over to Kenya, what a great time we would have. And so I'm going to incorporate real life experiences into the Word of God. Or I could say it this way, we're going to incorporate the Word of God into our real life experience, because that's really what we do. So before we embark on our safari, or technically it's called a game drive, I just want to give a disclaimer. This has been a really rough week. I get sick like once a year, and this week it just came on really hard, and kind of the whole Oaks household has been leveled. And so we'll get through it though. So thank you for bearing with. I might just start sweating pretty soon, or my voice will go away. But anyway, we're going to take a look at a couple things because I think that there's some really interesting things. Whoops. Some interesting things for us to see that God has for us, and how he continued to reveal some of those things even to me through some real life experiences. Many of you know that Nicole and I lived in Kenya prior to coming to Korea. And it was an incredible experience, and we had an opportunity to serve at an international Christian school there as well, very similar to some of our international Christian schools here in town. And wonderful experience, and God really, really blessed that work. And we have some very, very good friends that are still there. And often, when people would come over to visit, we would work very, very hard, but we would go on what's called a game drive, or you would know it better by a safari. And so the Masai Mara in Kenya is the same body of land that stretches down into Tanzania that you would refer to as the Serengeti. This is a picture that's not uncommon in the Masai Mara, where you would drive in a vehicle on a path or a road, and the Masai Mara is just this huge expanse of land. I don't know if anyone's ever been to East Africa or specifically to Kenya, but if you've ever gone there, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And there's quite a diverse scene that you can go from in different parts of the country. But when you go into the Masai Mara, there's tall grass, there's shrub lines, there's trees. Sometimes there's an acacia tree that just stands out there by itself. And you've probably seen some pictures or posters of just this lone acacia tree. But there's a mountain range, and there's just all this beauty to look at. And the sky is just huge. It just goes forever. And I remember one experience. We were doing an outreach into some villages, and we were showing the Jesus film, and there's some amazing stories, and we would go into these villages, and we would be welcomed in by the chief, and we would set up this equipment with generator, we'd set up this huge screen, and we show the Jesus film, and people would come, and this is a real story. People would come to us afterwards, because we showed it in Kiswahili, which is, Kiswahili and English are both considered the national language in Kenya, and people would come up to us in Kiswahili, and they would say, I didn't know God knew my language. And it was just amazing to be a part of those kind of experiences. But we would go out and we would drive, and just like this, we sat on this road and we stopped and we just kind of looked around. And I know it's probably going to be really hard to see just because of the lighting of the picture and the lighting in here. But you can kind of just take a look around. You can see the vast expanse that there is there, right? And then I'm going to just kind of show you this picture. I don't know exactly how to, oh, here, this might do it. This is just a shot into the tall grass. This is, you know, nothing really fantastic, is it? It's just kind of like tall grass, right? Anybody see anything particularly interesting? John? Yeah, no, see, you're cheating because they lived in Tanzania, so he knows what he's looking for. What do you see, John? There's a male lion there. Are you serious? Let's see. Yeah, it's hard for me even from this angle. You see that? I'm circling his head. Eye, nose, mouth. He's huge. Let me go backwards. Where is he? Can you spot him? Nate? Oh, he's there, right? Lions in the grass. You see, here's the thing. We go about life, and even when we're on the path, sometimes we forget that there's danger lurking. In fact, in our key text this morning, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety or your cares on him, because he cares for you. Be alert. Be of sound or sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to desire or to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." You see, this lion wasn't making any noise. Oftentimes when a lion gets hungry, they start to do that growl, and it's that guttural growl that comes out, and they start to let other lions know that I'm starting to get agitated, I'm starting to get hungry. Well, this lion was making no noise. He was just sitting there. Now, here's the thing. We were on that path. We were in a vehicle. And we're going to come to this. I believe it's our point number two. But we were in a safe place. Unless we get so deceived by becoming too familiar or too forgetful that we actually have an enemy, that we flippantly, we without thought, maybe step out of that safe place. Perhaps we step off the path, which is actually going to be our point number one. And we are on the path, we're in our safe place, but it would have been really easy because you might just think, hey, let's just kind of go out there and just breathe and it's just like, wow, look at this is great. Not thinking that there perhaps could be danger just outside of our safe place because he's there and he was very silent. Have you ever seen a lion jump? Have you ever seen the distance that a lion can cover in one leap? So if we're sitting here and the lion is right in here, I can tell you that in one leap, if we had stepped out of our safe place, we would have been in grave danger because the enemy is there all the time, waiting, looking to see who he can devour. Who is your guide? I would like us to think about this morning who it is that we're following, who it is that we're walking with, who it is that we allow to be alongside of us, because I want to continue in this story. Now, we stayed in our safe place, and that lion was there the whole time. But we come to a place where in areas of danger, like in Kenya, you may have heard to it before, and I'm sure that the hills would know this, the big five. Well, the big five are in the lower picture here, the elephant, the leopard, the lion, the buffalo, and the rhinoceros. Those are known as the big five. But there's a whole lot of other predators, and this is not exhaustive. There's a whole lot of other predators that are right there in that same area that would love to have you for lunch today if you stepped out of your safe place. And sometimes we have to consider who is our guide. And that's one of our things that I want us to consider this morning for each of us. Who are you allowing to guide you? Who is the guide in your life? God's primary means for giving us guidance in the Bible, we can see Jesus speaks to. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit." He must be a part of the family of God. He must come into that place where he allows God to come into his life and to be our guide. And today, we have the Holy Spirit, the very person of the Holy Spirit that is with us today. And my contention for us this morning is that we would allow the Holy Spirit to be our guide. The Bible is our rule book of faith and practice. If we know it, if we understand it, if we learn it, if we study it, we can take in the very words of God so that they too can guide us in this thing we call life. We'll be well on our way to practicing following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes a question is asked, I don't know what to do, I don't know which way to turn, where am I going with my life? And perhaps one of the responses could be, are you seeking God's word? Are you looking in God's word? He never guides us contrary to what he's already put in his word. God never goes back on his word. He always guides us, and it's always in line or accordance with his very word. So when we look at his word, we can already see instruction that he's given to us. And too often we want to skip that step. We want to say, well, what is God saying to me? How is God directing me? Where is God leading me? And the response could be, have you looked in his word? His written word that actually can speak life into our very life. Now, Isaiah 58:10, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. In Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. See, he promises to guide us. He promised the disciples that when I go, I will send the Comforter. And he did. And we can see that in Acts. And we can see when the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, continued to remain with the disciples then, as the Holy Spirit of God remains with us to this very day. And he can walk with us. And we can walk with him. When's the last time? And I'm not splitting hairs here, but when's the last time you actually just said, Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. I invite you to lead me. I invite you to guide me. Now, we may say, God, I invite you into my life. Jesus, I invite you. And that's fine. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But his presence is with us today as the Holy Spirit. It's part of that triune God. It's the person of the Holy Spirit that can live in you. Have you asked him to step inside? So here we are, we're at this place, and we park, we look around, never really realizing that this lion is right there, and within one leap, he could have been right on us had we stepped out of that vehicle. It still intrigues me to this day, and if you see all these pictures, sometimes you'll see cheetah are renowned for jumping up on the hoods of these safari vehicles or these game drive vehicles, and they'll sit there because they like to get a higher vantage point to look out across the plains. And it's interesting to me because we've actually been sitting in some of these kind of vehicles where it's open on the side, and literally the lion's head is right at that same level. And I'm amazed that they just don't take a little hop up, because if they take a little hop up, they're right in there with you, and that would be really bad. But for some reason, they don't. We've literally had lions that have stood right by the side of the vehicle. We've had them sit right off the back bumper of the vehicle. So it's really this amazing, I think it's a phenomena, that they would just be so close and they would just look at you. But I guarantee you, if you step out of the vehicle, they'll have you for lunch. Now let me tell you, we had a guest that came in and we did the work that we had planned to do. And at the very end of his time with us, I took him into the Nairobi Game Park, which is a part of the same body of land, but it's a protected area. And it's literally right, if you saw pictures of the Nairobi Game Park, you'll see the outline of the city right there. I mean, it's literally right there. And yes, they've had some of these animals that have kind of walked out of the area and walked right down the streets of Nairobi. It's pretty amazing. But so we went into this place, This one location, you can drive the vehicle and then you can park the vehicle. And in this one location only, you will be met by a ranger. I'm not sure, I don't even remember what. Let me just skip forward here a second. Oops, we missed something. Uh-oh, sorry, second one. Anyway, you'll be met with by a ranger. Now, this ranger is trained. This is what they do. They live there. They have a weapon. And you'll be met with by a ranger at this place. This is the one location that it will be okay for you to step out of the vehicle. It's because the ranger is with you. And so we drove, and I knew this, and we parked, and we got out, and the ranger was right there, and he met us, and he's got his weapon, and he says, Buona, would you like to see a snake? I don't like snakes. And so I thought for a minute, because I don't even know that I'm comfortable with that, with the ranger right here. And I looked at my friend, and he was looking at me, and I said, is it alive? He says, yes. I looked back at my friend. He looked at me. I looked at the gun, and I said, okay. And off we went down the path with the ranger. So we had our guide with us with the weapon. And he took us down this path. We were walking along the path. And he led us to where there was this low-lying tree. There was this, I don't know what kind it was, just this tree. It was probably, I don't know, maybe as tall as where that speaker is on the wall right there. And we were standing on the path, probably where Sukwan is to the tree. And we looked, he said, there, he's right there. And I looked right at the tree and I said, where? He says, he's right there. And I looked, I said, I don't see him, where is he? He says, Buona, he's looking right at you. And I did this. And now look at, I searched, I tried to find an appropriate picture to show you. I couldn't find anything appropriate because they were like swallowing massive animals and stuff like that. But this was the largest snake I've ever seen in my life. It was an African rock python sitting at the base of the tree, coiled up. And I'm not exaggerating. You got to believe me, I'm not exaggerating. The part of his body that I could see, and I would never claim to be Hercules or anything like that, but the body that I could see that was, because he was coiled, I can't even tell you how long the thing was as thick as my thigh. That's how thick his, the body that I, of him being coiled, but his head was just like this. This makes for a great story when you go into a classroom with little kids, because you can really freak them out. But as still as could be, he was right at the base of the tree, and his head and those black eyes were just staring, and he was totally still and, of course, totally silent. And so I asked the very logical, highly intelligent question. I said, what is he doing? And the ranger went on to tell us, he's waiting for animals to come along the path and then step off the path. Have you ever seen a python strike? Have you ever seen a python eat anything? We had a friend, he's a missionary friend in Kenya who liked snakes. And he would be, a lot of the Kenyans, when they would find some snakes around, they would call him and say, Blyan, you have to come, we found a snake. And so he would go, and I was just like, oh. And so we saw these cobras, we saw these black mambas. Well, he caught this little python one time. And he kept it in an aquarium at his house. And I went over there one time, and it was feeding time. And so he had this little, I hope this doesn't gross anybody out, he had this little mouse, and he dropped it in the tank, and he put the cover back on. This is just a little python. I bet he was probably that long. And he sat there. He didn't do anything. He just sat there. And the little mouse ran all over the place, and then he jumped on the back of this little python. And I'm like, dude, you are asking for it. And he was up all over the place, and the python just sat there. And then I'm like, this guy's got a death wish, because then he started picking at the back of the python, but the python just sat there and he didn't do anything. And then he made the fatal mistake of going up over his head. Now, I'm telling you, I can't even explain to you how quick it happened, but the mouse or the whatever little rat went up over his head, and the little python that was sitting there the whole time so silently just went like this. Literally, I was like, whoa. And he had him in his mouth. An instant, here, I'll do it in slow motion. Are you ready? And he grabbed him, and at the same time, he immediately started to bring him in, coiling him into his body. And that's what a python or a constricting snake will do, is that it'll coil you into the body and just crush. Now, I've heard this. I've never seen it. I have seen pictures. But they say that a full-grown python can actually, you know what a Volkswagen Beetle is, right? They can crush, if they wrap around it, they can just buckle that thing. They're amazingly powerful if they get you into their coil. And that was history for that little mouse, and that's what happened. So here's this massive python, this African rock python, sitting at the base of that tree, and he's just waiting, right? He's waiting for some animal to come unaware off of that path. And I was immediately reminded of this kind of a context about how our enemy waits for us, but he's not like just waiting like, hey, I'm chilling, I'm taking a break. He's looking to see who's not alert, who's not on guard, who's not, the translation really is more appropriate to using the word ready. So the question really becomes, are you ready? Are you alert? Are you of sound mind? Are you sober? Do you realize that we have an enemy? And that enemy wants to destroy you, wants to crush the life out of you. The next question is, what is your path? What path is it that you are on? What path are you following? The second key to God's guidance is found in Psalm 5:8. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Tell me clearly what to do and show me which way to turn. But he gives us even more grace than that. If you trust God, acknowledging him in all of your ways that you live, and you don't lean on your own understanding, your own confidence in yourself or your past experiences, and you let him guide you, he will do just that. He will lead you. He will guide you. And you stay on that path that he has in front of you. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 2:20 and 21 says, follow the steps of the godly. Stay on the right path, for only good men enjoy life to the full. This encourages us, it admonishes us to make sure we stay on the path. Let me go back to this story. So my friend and I are standing there. We see the python, and no, we didn't get any closer. But I stared for a long time, and I'm telling you, it was just freaky. Because if that guide hadn't been with us, and if we had gone down that path, what if we said, you know what, let's get into some shade and let's just kind of go sit under this tree. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here to tell you about it because he was there the whole time, just like the lion was there. Now, let me fast forward. We had some other friends come out. We did a lot of work together in ministry. And at the end of their time, we took them to the same place, the Nairobi Game Park. We got out of the vehicle and we started walking down the path. And you see, the path, if you went one way, follows this little river, and there's an embankment. And you could probably just kind of follow this path, and it just kind of goes, I don't know, I never really took it too far. But you could follow this path, and it was along this river, so there's this embankment. And so what we were hoping for, highly intelligent people, again, right? To see maybe some hippos or crocodiles or whatever. And here we are out in this body of land. And if you're an animal that lives out there and you're thirsty, where are you going to go? To the GS25 or to the river? Well, there's no GS25, so you're going to go to the river. And there we were, walking along the path that was going along the river. And we came along this place where we spotted a crocodile on the other side of the embankment of the very river that we were walking along. And it was huge. I'm telling you, it's the largest crocodile I think I've ever seen, at least in the wild. It was huge. My whole entire body could fit inside of this crocodile. I'm not exaggerating. And of course, we did what every other intelligent creature would do. We whipped out our cameras, and we were starting to take pictures. And then we had an even better idea. My friend, his name was Rowdy, and it was his wife Ashley and Nicole and myself. Rowdy and I decided we need to get closer because we're just really smart that way. So we figured if we go closer to the river, we could get better pictures of the crocodile. So what did we do? Yes, we stepped off the path. And we started walking in grass that was at least knee-high to try to get closer to the river where we knew this crocodile was so we could get better pictures. Now, flash back to the other story about the python sitting at the base of the tree. We stepped off the path. And it literally, and I'm not trying to sound all weird or anything, but it literally seemed as if we both got tapped on the shoulder at the same time because we were one in front of the other, blazing our own trail off the path through this tall grass, trying to get closer to the river so we could get closer to the crocodile so we could get better pictures. And we both stopped literally at the same time and turned to each other. And we both said, maybe we should go back. And I'm telling you, it was only at that moment that I realized that we were in a very dangerous place. And I look back, and Ashley and Nicole had stayed on the path that we had diverted off of, and they were standing there, and it was as if this neon light was flashing over their head. Free lunch special today, 2 for the price of 1. But see, do you recognize what I didn't tell you? Is something missing from this experience? Did anybody catch that? That's exactly right. We got so caught up getting caught up, we parked the vehicle and got out and just took off down the path. No guide. No ranger with a weapon to protect us. We just started walking. again, that's a miracle that we're even able to be here to tell you about that. Because it could have been that easy for any of those predators in that area to have had us for lunch. God not only can be your guide, but he can keep you on that path that he has for you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Follow the steps of the godly. Stay on the right path. And number three, where is your safe place? Where is your safe place? We need to pursue knowledge of God himself, but it's not just a head knowledge. It must become our own personal experience with a personal God and a personal Holy Spirit and a personal Savior. We need to know what pleases him and what displeases him. There's no substitute for walking with God, sharing with him, and talking to him directly. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. When you do that, when you stay in him, when you study him, when you get to really know him, you will experience his direction. Sometimes along the path, you'll experience his correction. Now, if Nicholas had been walking with me, and he started to venture off that path like I was doing, my correction would have been, Nicholas, get back on the path. We need to stay on the path. This relationship develops over a period of time. It's a consistent relationship that develops as we spend time with God, just like when we spend time with each other and develop friendships or dating relationships or marriages. We spend time getting to know each other. Spend time in each other's presence, getting to experience parts of life with each other. It's not instantaneous. We don't flip a switch and one morning wake up and just have all knowledge that there is. We'll never get to that place. But we can continue to be consistent in that time we spend with God to get to know him. Whether it's a daily devotional time, a daily prayer time, just time thinking and reflecting on God's goodness and his presence and contemplating perhaps what it is that he has for us in that day. Who, God, who do you want me to see today? Who do you want me to bless today? Who can I be an encouragement today? How do you want me to be? When we stop and we take moments like that to reflect or to look at his word or to think about his grace and his goodness, then our steps become ordered. Through constant use, our senses become sharpened. And then it even says, we know how to distinguish good from evil. A prayer I have with each of my kids and for them is that they would know good from evil. That they would choose right from wrong. That they would be allowed to have and receive the wisdom from heaven and use that wisdom appropriately. Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. And this is so significant when we feel so pressed and we feel perhaps oppressed and we feel like there's things around us that just don't make sense or are spinning perhaps out of control. Psalm 121, 1 and 2, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Wow. The God of the universe cares so much for me that all I have to do is say, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me. And that same creator of all good things is as close as the mention of his name. Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. That's amazing. When you know you're going into battle, when you know you're going into war, when you know you're going up against evil people, think of that as your protection. God is my defender. God is my shield. He is my armor and my protector. Psalm 61:4, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Wow, isn't there hope in that? Isn't there such encouragement in that? We must have knowledge, But it's got to go to our heart. It's got to be our own personal experience with God. It's a personal knowledge of God. And the knowledge that we are living each day in tune with Him. You can look at Psalm 10, verses 7 through 14. Again, in verse 9, it says, like a lion in cover, the enemy waits. He lies in wait. Psalm 17, 6 through 12, it says this in verse 12, talking about the enemies of God. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. We have an enemy. We have a destroyer of our soul. We have one who would rather crush us than allow us to live in the fullness that God has for us. Be alert. Be sober. Be aware. Be on guard. Be ready. If you ever were to go on a game drive in Kenya or in Tanzania and the Serengeti, the Masai Mara, this will probably ring more true, because you can see some of these very predators that would just as soon pounce on you and eat you for lunch as look at you. And that's just like our enemy. The objective of our enemy from now until Jesus comes is to destroy you, is to crush the life out of you, is to pull you out of God's hand. Have you asked God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to be your guide? Have you put yourself on the path of righteousness? Have you put yourself in God's way that He has for you? Have you come to that place where it's safe for you? Because again, when you're driving out in a game drive, the safe place is in the vehicle. There are very, very unfortunate stories about people who thought that all was well. Oh, look at that little lion cub. It's so cute. I just want to pet it. I don't see mama. I don't see daddy. I think I could just get out and pet it. Well, listen something. Mama is never far away from her baby. Right? Stay in that safe place. God wants you to stay whole and healthy and well. And He's come to give us life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. God can guide us through His word. He guides by bringing people even into your lives, providentially perhaps, to give advice and counsel. Even the Bible speaks of seeking wise counsel. He guides us through circumstances. There are other ways, but this all comes because the Holy Spirit is available to us today. He is present right now. Have you invited Him to be a part of your life? In the book of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, You are a loving Father. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us how to live in relation with You, in love with You, how to love others. You sent Him to die on that cross to accept the punishment on our behalf, as we reflected on last week especially. But God, we know that it didn't stay there, because He rose again. And we now can live in the resurrecting power of Christ. We also can live in the reality of relationship with the Holy Spirit, Your presence, who's with us here today. Holy Spirit, fill us and be real in our lives. Yes, be our guide. Give us the path and keep us on that right way. And let us live in Your safety. Father, if there are any here this morning that do not have relationship with You, I pray in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit would do a work right now, and they would surrender their will and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. For any who perhaps desire a relationship with Jesus, maybe last week you were one of several who acknowledge the need for Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, I encourage you, please see Christian or myself or the church council members, and we'll help you in that journey of growing in faith in Christ. God bless you.